Good morning. My name is Matthew Lucero, and I'm here with a tree. It might be a Douglas fir or something. I don't know. But the first scripture reading today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 1 through 4, the good news of deliverance. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Hello again. Now I'm by a fireplace. That's Christmassy, maybe. Our second scripture today continues from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 8 through 11. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations.
Hey, Fairview, this is Brett. I'm just going to be reading the scripture for today. The scripture for today is 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 24. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets. But test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the one who called you is faithful, he will do this.
Thank you. shepherd came when the baby born. The shepherd came when the baby born. The shepherd came when the baby born. And they say that his name was Jesus. Come from the glory. He come from the glorious kingdom.
In her classic collection of Christmas poems, Kneeling in Bethlehem, Ann Weems has a poem entitled Against Our Better Judgment, in which she writes, "We told her she couldn't go. She was too young to stay up that late. She told us that maybe Jesus would be there and he was younger than she. We told him he couldn't go. He was too old to brave the cold night air. He told us he'd rather greet heaven from the Christmas Eve service than to be slumped by the TV. So we bundled them up against the extreme cold, against their own defenselessness, against our better judgment, and they went out with joy. My prayer is that those of us who think that we're in charge of the world and the church will remember that the stable was filled with such as these, those who would not be kept from rejoicing." Let's pray. John Vandalar offers this prayer for new days. Just when it seems that all is lost, that our brokenness, our failure has gone too far, you call a new day to dawn. Just when it feels like hope is foolish, that darkness and despair are the only true realities, you call the sun to rise. Just when we think we're alone and abandoned, that life is nothing but pain and emptiness and meaninglessness, you arrive among us again. God of Advent and of restoration, we praise you for every new day that absorbs the darkness, for every rising sun that calls the night to end, for every messenger of hope and forgiveness that baptizes us with your love, for every joy fulfilled that brightens us and the world around us. Amen. When I was growing up, it was a family tradition to have daily devotions around the breakfast table. Though this may evoke a scene from Norman Rockwell, it seldom was that serene. In the early morning bustle of feeding four kids and getting them off to school, there was frequently just a little bit of stress. Sometimes those daily devotions felt like a burden. The source of those devotions was The Secret Place, which is a daily digest of biblical and spiritual reflection and prayer still produced by the American Baptist churches. I'm sure our family used it because that resource was from our denomination and because my pastor father occasionally wrote for it. On one particularly disoriented morning, most of us had gotten up on the proverbial wrong side of the bed. Maybe it was a day when no one really wanted to go to school. Either the weather was too bad or it was too nice. Maybe it was one of those Saturdays when there were multitude of chores to be done before we could go out and play. Maybe it was the stress of a holiday season. Maybe there was sibling rivalry. Maybe my father had scorched the oatmeal one more time. But whatever the reasons, we were out of sorts. Norman Rockwell would have found nothing idyllic to paint on that particular morning as we gathered grumbling around the breakfast table for our daily devotions. Clearly, we needed a little attitude adjustment, but we just were not having it. The reason I'm telling you this is that the Bible reading for that morning focused on rejoicing. Maybe it was one of today's texts, "May all who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy," or "I will greatly rejoice in the Holy One, my whole being shall exult in my God," or "rejoice always." You know, truth be told, I think the reading was probably another of Paul's exhortations to a first century congregation. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Holy One is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Wonderful words written to the church in Philippi. Well, my sainted mother, fed up with our discontent, decided to make a crusade that morning of getting us to rejoice. For the rest of whatever time we had together that morning, every time we opened our mouths to grumble or complain, to show a mean or a distressed face, she would respond by proclaiming forcefully, "Rejoice! Rejoice!" So I doubt it led to a lot of joy. It's remained a memorable childhood event for me. Rejoice! Rejoice! Really? Can you actually pressure yourself or someone else into rejoicing? The psalmist, Isaiah, Paul, all encourage rejoicing on occasion, but can it be imposed? I'm quite sure it did not work on that morning when my mother tried it. Yet here it is, year after year, on the third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete Sunday. I like the sound of that word, Gaudete. It's Latin for joy. In their wisdom, the creators of the liturgical calendar have designated this Sunday as the Sunday for rejoicing. So get with it, folks. Rejoice. Rejoice. Really, you say? Who are you to tell us to rejoice? And that's a fair question, though I'm not ever likely to tell you to rejoice. I might invite you or encourage you or even coax you, but I can't imagine instructing you. I don't know if joy is a fragile flower, but I'm sure it can't be forced to bloom. So help me out here. Where do you find joy in your life? What causes you to rejoice? Where do you find joy in this season? What elicits your rejoicing? And one more approach to the topic, where would you like to find joy, especially in these difficult, perilous, pandemic-laden times? Where would you delight in finding yourself rejoicing today? One of the challenges of this Advent season has been to find hope, to find peace in a world that seems in so many ways to have gone mad. In the midst of the chaos and the stress of daily living on this planet in this time, how can we even talk about joy? Rejoice? Really? Someday it's almost too difficult to get out of bed for fear of what we will find in the daily news. What incivility, ingratitude, insolence, injury, insanity will confront us today? How much more can we take of disease, of disasters, natural and unnatural, of disrespect, of distress at every turn? When and where can we find time to rejoice in the face of the pandemic? Maybe an afternoon or an evening watching a Hallmark holiday movie or a trip to the mall will do the trick. But seriously, here it is in the wisdom of the ages. When the divine lover enters the human heart, all yearnings are fulfilled. Then will our mouths ring forth with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy. Then we will sing our songs of praise to you, O beloved of all hearts. For gladness will radiate out for all to see. So great is your presence among us. So sings the psalmist in that Nan Merrill paraphrase. Is there something to be said for us today in opening our hearts to the divine lover, the ever near and yet still coming one, whose promised presence among us we celebrate in this season? Is there room in the inn of our hearts for a miracle still to be born in spite of all the turmoil around us? Rejoice? Really? I will greatly rejoice in the Holy One. My whole being will exult in my God, proclaims the prophet. For God has clothed me with the garments of salvation. God has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Garments of salvation, robes of righteousness, the adornment of the wedding banquet. Dare we make such a claim for ourselves? Yet the one whose birth we wait for claimed exactly such a wardrobe when he began his ministry, echoing the prophet's claim and announcing its fulfillment in his ministry and in ours as his followers. The Spirit of God is upon me because the Holy One has anointed me. God has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of God's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion. As difficult as it may be to discern at times, it is precisely this sort of proclamation and practice of good news that will bring joy to our lives. Remember, joy is not happiness. Joy contains that deep satisfaction of action rightly taken, of life well lived, of love played out in human interaction with each other and all of creation. The great Russian novelist and mystic Leo Tolstoy wrote that joy can only be real if people look upon their life as service and have a definite object in life outside themselves and their personal happiness. Isn't that a word we could use today? To look outside ourselves to find our joy. Rejoice? Really? Yes, says Paul. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. I don't know, Paul. That sounds like a tall order, a lot of work. Maybe more than I can handle. Is this really God's will in Christ Jesus for you and for me? Well, for the sake of today's theme, let's take that exhortation seriously. What would it take for us to rejoice always? Prayer without ceasing sounds like a good start. What if my life was a prayer that God's will be done in and through me? I imagine, as challenging as that would be, it would also yield some joy to be so centered in the Holy One, the Divine Lover. And what if our lives were shaped by gratitude for all we've been given? Gratitude that played itself out even when times were tough and we were inclined to be grumpy or worse. Karl Barth observed that joy is the simplest form of gratitude. What if we were really open to the wild unpredictability of the Spirit's movement in us and through us? Henry Nouwen believed that each day holds a surprise, but only if we expect it can we see, hear, or feel it when it comes to us. Let's not be afraid, he encourages, to receive each day's surprise, whether it comes to us as sorrow or as joy. It will open a new place in our hearts, a place where we can welcome new friends and celebrate more fully our shared humanity. Are we willing to live with that sort of expectancy of and receptivity to what the Holy One might be doing among us? Are we willing to make ourselves vulnerable in order to experience the joy inherent in shared humanity and in shared community? Rejoice? Really? Are we ready? Are we making preparations this Advent? Friends, the day of rejoicing is fast approaching. Do we want to be left out, or do we want to lift our voices, however faintly, with all who go forth weeping tears of repentance, bearing seeds for sowing, so that we, like them, may come home to the Holy One, the Divine Lover, with shouts of joy, leaving sorrow behind? Rejoice? Yes, really. Rejoice. Amen.